Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I mean, DJ Matt Valdez is just hitting laser after laser today with the intros.
That's a good choice right there.
You're just killing it, Valdez. I'm giving you props.
You're striping them?
You should get a merit raise in your paycheck.
Doing a nice job.
Yes. We are the Junks. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline is Ben Lindsay on a Pro Football Focus Tuesday. He's an analyst for them. Hello, Ben. Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Hope all is well with you. I was looking at one of your colleagues' tweets yesterday, Ian Harditz, and it caught my eye because we're obviously here in D.C. He tweeted that Taylor Heinicke, among 45 quarterbacks with over 100 dropbacks since 2020, including the playoffs, he's got a big-time throw rate of 8.1%. That's number one. Mm. He's got a turnover-worthy play rate of 0.7%. That's also number one. So he's making big throws and taking care of the ball at the same time. So that's a pretty good combination for Ron Rivera's signal caller, with Fitz going down, obviously, with the injury.
Yeah, you can't hope for much more than that. He's looked great when you go back to that playoff game against Tampa Bay. I thought he did a lot of good things against New York, especially late in the game, those two throws to McKissick and then the touchdown, and sort of how he bounced back from that interception. There's a lot of positives to take away from how he's played.
And you have to also like, too, that Terry McLaurin's targets in week one against the Chargers were at four, and I guess Ron Rivera and Scott Turner must have huddled and said, that's not nearly enough. He got 14 targets and hauled in 11 grabs in week two. So to get McLaurin more involved definitely is going to help Heinicke down the line too.
Absolutely. When you have those receivers who can win in basically any situation, and I think that's what McLaurin is, he's one of the better route runners in the league. You saw that a couple times against Bradbury, who we had as sort of a fringe top five cornerback coming into the year. And he was able to create some separation. He's caught all five of his contested targets this year. So when you have a guy like that, there's no reason not to feed him the ball the way they did against New York.
What do you? I don't know if you really had a chance to focus on it, but what do you see, if anything, with Washington's defense? Why have they struggled so far?
Yeah, I think it's the cornerbacks haven't played up to expectations yet. I think you've seen William Jackson got beat over the top a few times last week. So it's just sort of bringing those new pieces in together with two new starters on the outside and sort of those guys gelling, because up front they've still looked good. I mean, New York's offensive line isn't exactly a great test, but they won pretty regularly on Thursday night. So I think they'll still be fine there. Jameen Davis looked good on that Thursday night game. So I think it's really the secondary that's been the issue. And it's not like they don't have talent back there. William Jackson was Cincinnati's top cornerback for the past few years. I think he'll bounce back a little bit. It's just been a little bit of a rough start if they gel.
And, Ben, that's a scary proposition, because now Washington goes on the road. They have to face Buffalo. And Josh Allen hasn't looked like the Josh Allen of 2020 through the first 2 weeks. But, I mean, Diggs, Beasley, and Emmanuel Sanders, those guys could give that secondary fits if they don't get some of those things cleaned up that we've seen in the first 2 weeks.
Absolutely. I think their best bet is to just make Josh Allen uncomfortable with pressure. They need to be able to beat that offensive line. And Buffalo struggled a little bit stopping opposing pass rushes. I know they've played Pittsburgh, who arguably has the best pass rush in the league, and they play Miami, who can get after the quarterback a little bit, but so can Washington. So if those guys up front can get to Josh Allen and make him uncomfortable, it'll help out the secondary for sure.
So what have you noticed specifically on the struggles of Buffalo offensively? In the Pittsburgh game, Allen dropped back, I believe, 51 times. He was 30 of 51 or 31 of 50, something like that. But they kind of dominated the stats and time of possession, but they couldn't score. And then last week, obviously, against Miami, that you know, Tua goes out early, so they kind of rolled. But what have you noticed about Buffalo offensively in their struggles?
Yeah, Allen hasn't quite been as accurate as we saw last year, and that was the big thing, that jump. You saw that completion percentage stat thrown around a lot at the end of the year. But it was his ball placement, too. That was the big reason for his jump. That quite hasn't been the same yet this year. And also their tackles. That was supposed to be a strength coming into the year. Deion Dawkins, Darrell Williams at right tackle. Those guys have struggled a little bit. PFF grade in the 50s so far this year. So that's not great going up against Montez Sweat and Chase Young in this matchup. So I think that's where Washington can look to win. Because I do think Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, those guys can create separation. They can get open in this game. So they have to hope that they get to Josh Allen first.
All right, so there's some big games this week. Chargers, Chiefs, big one in Kansas City. The Niners are playing the Packers on Sunday night in San Francisco. Eagles, Cowboys, Monday night. Bucks, Rams in L.A. I mean, they're four or five really big matchups. So let's start with that Packers-Niners matchup. The Niners have all kinds of injuries in the backfield. Their top four or five running backs all dinged up, a couple of them for the year. What are you hearing on the availability of those guys? And then talk about that matchup. What do you foresee?
Yeah, I think the big thing with San Francisco's backfield is their scheme and sort of the way they run the ball allows these guys to have success. You've seen it with Hasty. You've seen it with Elijah Mitchell. So even the injuries there, I wouldn't be super concerned with. I think the bigger one is in the secondary, losing Jason Verrett, who was a really key player for them heading into the year because they lost Richard Sherman, because they were already thin at cornerback with how well he played last year. Now you lose him, and they're really, really thin at that position. And now they're going up against Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, who bounced back a little bit last night. So I think that's the concern for them, more so than the injuries at running back.
Joined by Ben Lindsay, analyst for Pro Football Focus. Give him a follow on Twitter at PFF underscore Lindsay, LINSEY. Are you surprised at how much Derek Carr is airing it out for the Raiders? I mean, the book on him pre this season was kind of conservative, doesn't really throw the ball deep unless guys are open. But, I mean, you pointed it out on Twitter in the first half against the Steelers. Yards per pass play for the Raiders, 7.2. Yards per run play, 1.4. So it makes total sense for Carr, you know, to find Waller and Ruggs and just air it out in that offense.
Yeah, and props to the Raiders for really leaning into the pass in that game. It's what won them that game because they weren't doing anything on the ground up front against Pittsburgh. But Carr's looked great this year. He's always been one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the NFL at getting the ball out in the short and intermediate range. We saw last year a little bit with Nelson Agholor. He has success when he goes deep. He just doesn't do it a ton. And they've pushed the ball downfield a little bit more this year. I think John Gruden catches a lot of flack along with Mike Mayock for how they've drafted and sort of the guys they've acquired. But as far as scheming up an offense, I think he's done a really good job with Las Vegas the past few years, given the talent they have, because they really don't have a ton at wide receiver outside of Darren Waller. Hunter Renfrow is kind of a nice complimentary guy. Henry Ruggs obviously had that big touchdown, but he was largely a disappointment, especially compared to some of the other rookies last year. So I think the success they've had on offense is a combination of Carr really getting comfortable in that offense and taking the next step. And Gruden, I'm going to give him props, too, for how he's called that.
So, Ben, Jameis looked really good in week one, threw five touchdowns on limited yardage. I think he was at 148 yards for week one. And then he just flopped in week two against the Panthers. I'm guessing you're going to see more bad Jameis in week three because he has to face the Patriots on the road, and we saw what they did to Zach Wilson this past weekend. I'm guessing more bad Jameis on the way in week three.
Yeah, I think that's more likely than the 5-touchdown performance we saw in week one. And that's sort of been the book on Jameis throughout his career. It's a roller coaster, man. He got the lead in that opener against Green Bay, which made things a little bit easier. When you're playing from ahead like they were, it opens things up. Against Carolina, it was the exact opposite. They got into a hole, and you just saw a lot of bad mistakes that we've come to see from Jameis. And I think you could see more of that from New England. They added a lot of pieces to that defensive front, a lot deeper up there than they were a year ago. So even without Stephon Gilmore, their defense is still pretty legitimate, and I think they can give New Orleans problems.
Well, what was more shocking about that was Kamara went for 5 yards on just 8 carries. Yeah. I mean, that should never happen.
No, it shouldn't happen. You should be finding ways, even when behind, to give Kamara the ball. And it's not like the Saints don't have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. So their inability to sort of create anything on the ground is a little bit surprising.
Talking to Ben Lindsay from Pro Football Focus. You know, Carolina's off to a 2-0 start. They're feasting on kind of some lesser opponents, but
and they get another one this week.
All eyes have been on Sam Darnold, and all he's done is play very well. What does Pro Football Focus see from Darnold's play so far?
Yeah, he's been solid, which is a step up from what he was with the Jets early in his career. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't been making those big mistakes that's going to cost Carolina games. And they have a strong team in place around them. They have weapons on offense. Joe Brady is someone who I think should have gotten a look for a head coaching job last year in terms of what he can do as a play caller. Defensively, they've really put a lot of resources on that side of the ball the past 2 years in the draft. A lot of athleticism on that defense. So all the pieces are there for Darnold. Just if he can sort of control the game and not make the mistakes that we saw all the time in New York, the Panthers can be sort of in that playoff conversation, in the wild card conversation. And that's the way they're trending right now. And it looks like they're going to start 3-0 against Houston because Davis Mills is probably going to start that game. And it's tough to expect a lot out of him.
What are you seeing from Trevor Lawrence so far? He's not exactly getting off to a great start.
Yeah, no, Trevor Lawrence has not gotten off to a great start. They pushed the ball downfield a lot. He has one of the highest average depth of targets in the NFL. Hasn't been all that accurate, has made some bad mistakes. It's just a combination of his play and sort of that offense overall under Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. I wouldn't be overly concerned about Lawrence because you've still seen his talent. It's flashed on a couple of plays. But overall, he's just making too many mistakes, been inaccurate with the ball. Not an ideal start for Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Orlovsky a couple weeks ago was going off on social media just saying that offense is just brutal.
Yeah, it is. They're not creating easy throws for Lawrence. And also, he dropped back to pass, I want to say, the second most in the league behind Dak Prescott.
Right.
That's not what you want for a rookie quarterback. You don't want to hang him out there to dry and sort of force him to make these wow throws down the field, drop back after the drop back. And that's sort of what that offense is right now.
Ben, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. At @PFF_Lindsey. It's spelled LINSEY. Give him a follow already. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Anytime. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Some good details, good skinny. I mean, good stats from Ben.
Would you ever guess that Trevor Lawrence's quarterback rating through 2 weeks is 57? Pretty low.
Well, he's only completing 50% of his passes.
I mean, that's low. What are some of the other rookie numbers, though?
Well, Zach Wilson's got to be worse.
Yeah, I'm gonna say.
Well, it sounds like Urban Meyer's a little bit of a donk for not running the ball more and giving him a little bit of balance on the offense.
Yeah, well, they have been trailing, so.
And also easier throws.
Right.
You know, as he said.
He likes to sling it.
Let me look up Zach Wilson's
The Etienne injury kills them, too, because that was going to be his bailout.
Yep.
Zach Wilson is basically the exact same, 56.1. Mm-hmm. This is 57.
I'm curious, what's Justin Fields? If you want to keep going down the list, it's very small sample size for Fields, but he came in and he didn't blow me away.
Has Dalton been ruled out yet or no? officially.
I saw something.
I don't think so. Not yet.
By the way, like Justin Fields' numbers would have been better if Allen Robinson hadn't dropped a ball that went right through his hand.
True. Fields is 38.
I mean, he had a touchdown. He was falling across the goal line. It went through both of his hands.
And he usually doesn't drop those.
He's usually pretty sure.
The bloom is off the Fields rose pretty quick.
It's so early.
I'm not saying he stinks. I'm just saying all the hype from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Can we judge these guys after 3 years and not 3 games?
It'll be back on if he starts against Cleveland and does well.
Yep.
If he goes out and throws for two or three and runs for another touchdown, then you'll be talking about him come Monday. But we'll have to see how that works out. Drabby, see if Dalton plays or not.
Who's this guy on hold that says he thinks he can find Aaron Jones's ashes? Should we go to him when we come back?
When we come back, yeah. Interesting guy.
How is he going to find the ash?
I don't know.
He's a professional ring finder.
Oh, okay. Is he like one of those donks at the beach?
No, no, metal detector? That old guy?
He's a pro's pro.
He is. All right. We'll talk to him.
We'll figure that out. How he's going to find Aaron Jones' dad's ashes next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Coming up at 9:45, we'll tell you on average how much Americans check their phones per day. And sadly, I think I come in either at this number or above this number.
I bet goes a lot higher.
I still remember, we did lunch with our agent downstairs at Bonchon.
We did, yeah.
And Cakes probably checked his stocks like 5 times just during that lunch.
I may have.
You didn't check yesterday when it was plummeting 800 points.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
When it goes down, I don't check.
I didn't need to see all the gory details from yesterday. I just know it was bad. Blood was in the streets yesterday, Valdez. Yeah,
it's just a depressing day.
All right, well, we'll do that next segment. First of all, though, let's go to this guy, Brian. We talked about the story. Aaron Jones, I guess, had a necklace with some of his father's ashes inside it. And, you know, a lot of these athletes wear these chains out there. It's kind of crazy that they allow it. But at the professional level, you pretty much do whatever you want.
Right.
I mean, you could even play like a co-ed soccer game with a necklace on.
No.
But an NFL game, no problem. But apparently, he thinks he may have lost it in the end zone somewhere. He's not sure. He was there four times.
Yeah, he's there in the end zone a lot.
That'd be the first place to look.
Yeah.
But Brian from Clarksburg says he can find it. Brian.
Hey, Jones. How you guys doing?
What's up, Brian?
Brian, all right, so what's your deal?
Hey, I do this for a living. I'm a professional metal detectorist in our Washington metropolitan area, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Pennsylvania, Delaware.
What does that mean?
Yeah. What
metal detectorist?
What are these bona fides?
Who calls you?
Right, let me tell you. Okay, guys, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. I'm not that big, fat, old dude with the big, the big stomach hanging out with the high waters socks out on the beach, looking real creepy. I'm this guy that goes out there and finds lost items for people, recovers sentimental journeys, stories that you can never get back, wedding rings, engagement rings, stories that are connected to these rings that they would never be able to carry on in the family.
Right, Brian,
because
Brian,
they're lost forever.
What's the most valuable item you've ever recovered?
Okay, valuable item was a $50,000 4-carat diamond ring that I had to dive for over 2.5 months in the Middle River up in Baltimore.
Wow. And how much did your client pay you for that?
Well, I can't disclose that.
But so you dove, like, you had scuba gear? What did you do?
Yeah, I used scuba gear. I put underwater grids down below. I used digital technology, and I worked basically from one end of the harbor to the other. He was drunk. He got into a fight with his two-week-old spouse. They were only married for 2 weeks. They had a fight on their yacht. He grabs her hand, tears off the two rings, $50,000 engagement ring, $25,000 wedding band.
Wow.
And takes off his ring. She walks off to the tiki bar off on this on the sand over there.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so then she doesn't know what he's about to do. So he goes and takes his ring off and throws all three of them out in the harbor.
Oh my God. And then he has immediate regret the next morning after he'd been drinking.
Guys, the next morning I get the phone call, and it took 3 days for them to tell me it wasn't that there were breadcrumbs on a plate and that it was tossed over. And I kept saying to them, guys, were these ring tosses? 50% of all my calls, guys, have to do generally with ring tosses. People that are upset, the first thing that goes are the rings.
We had somebody who tossed the ring. I think it might have been Sacktown Mike, didn't Sacktown Mike years ago toss a ring?
His fiance tossed it out the window while they were driving.
Hey, I have a very important question. Did you ever have to go into the sewer and look through duty to find a ring?
Dude, I've never done that, but guys, I've heard of these guys that do this, and they don't do it professionally for the rings so much, but they are doing it to clean out and they find the rings. But there are people that have to go in. When the money is big, they will do it.
Let me ask you a question.
Do you charge by the hour or by the day or a percentage of the value of how do you do that?
Great question. By the way, the most I ever found in multiple things in one cash was $100,000 in gold coins up in Pennsylvania. So I just want to let you know that's the largest amount of what was that?
Where were the coins?
Where were they discovered?
Yeah, they were buried in the guy's backyard 35 years before, which was 2 years ago, so it had been 37 years ago, the dad said to his kids, I buried a cache of gold coins, Krugerrands from South Africa. If you guys ever have a problem and I'm dead, I want you to go in the back of my son's backyard. I want you guys to dig up the gold coins. But 35 years goes by, nobody remembers what the father said, where it was located, and I pulled it.
Why didn't that old codger just put him in a safety deposit box?
Right.
That probably sounds pretty easy, though. Like with technology today, probably wasn't that hard for you, was it?
Actually, it was because, guys, that he actually buried it in a location in the back of the yard where there's a lot of interference. There was a lot of iron. And so he buried it in a glass jar, a big glass jar container, and unfortunately, the iron was causing all kinds of problems. They had backhoes, they had metal detectors, they had all kinds of equipment. Dug up the whole backyard, couldn't find it. Called me in, and I got it done.
This guy's either the most fascinating guy on the planet, or a big giant liar. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm gonna get right in your pockets, guys. Okay? So. First of all, what did you do before you fell into this? Because I can't imagine that this has been your profession for 30 years.
Like radio sales.
No, it hasn't. Yes. Yeah, thanks. No, I had for 21 years a business, and I still do, but it's on the small end because of COVID-19.
Got you, okay.
Providing musical entertainment for senior communities throughout our metropolitan area.
So
I'm like the wedding singer guy.
In certain ways.
The wedding singer.
How much money? How much money are you making now, looking for wedding rings in a year?
Okay, I would say this. I don't want to give an exact amount because there are people listening, but I will tell you this, guys. I was pulling $100,000 in my regular business, gross. So mm-hmm. It was a very small business, just me. But I will tell you this. I had enough money last year with having absolutely no business because of the fact that I couldn't get into the senior communities. I was able to pay all my bills with money left over, and I thank God for what he did to get me through this with the Ring Finders. That's, by the way, the website. If you don't believe these stories,
now he's getting his plugs in.
But it's fine. I think I honestly think if the guy's legit, you have like a TV show in you, right? Why wouldn't Discovery? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we're actually working on a reality show right now. It's being pitched to production companies. And that's what we're actually doing.
Like, hit up Chris O'Doyle, and there you go. You got your show.
Well, I think Ring Finders is a big network, and he's like one of the detectives who works for them. They're all over the country.
Well, that's right. I'm actually on the sizzle reel. So it's, out of 550 detectors internationally with the Ring Finders,
there is a business called Ring Finding? Like, that's a thing?
Yeah. Well, we don't have a business called that, but there is a directory called the Ring Finders, and we are specialists who will do crazy things like this one with the football field. I want to go in and I want to find Jones's jewelry, get that back on his neck, and that means something that no one else could ever replace.
Can't you just have guys walk the end zone?
Yeah, how about just like the landscape
guys?
Come on.
I mean, it's not
barely. I don't need a metal detector.
Listen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm going to call the front office. I'm going to call the Packers front office when I get off the phone with you. If they allow me, I will do it at my cost. Go out there. I will volunteer with absolute no charge. And if they give me any reward, I'm going to give it to the Junks to give it to a charity in our area.
All right. It's called EB's Mortgage.
Yeah, I was going to say, we wanted to cut you off and give it to the Junks.
You're going to call them and Gurkut's going to hang up the phone.
You invested
okay.
Zing Finders.
If you get
my company.
If you get the okay, you get back in touch with us.
Listen, I will either way just to let you know what they say, but I'm going to get off the phone right now, and we'll see what we can do.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Sure that the Packers are going to have him come on to Lambeau Field.
There's no chance they're going to take his call.
It's his father's ashes.
They're not going to take his call.
Can't you just find, maybe four guys who are working in the stands and just say, walk the field? Exactly.
Yeah. I would think. You get all the front office.
Just set up a grid like Angelina Jolie did in The Bone Collector. Walk the grid and you find the stupid necklace.
Or you just.
It's so easy.
And for all these people, this guy lost, he said, two rings or three rings. His wife's
found him in the
wedding
band,
his
harbor.
Wife's diamond ring, and his ring, which, guys' rings aren't worth anything.
Mine's worth like
$50. Right. If they had that kind of money, why wouldn't you just buy new ones? Because sounds like you spent a ton of money. This guy to use scuba gear. It's 2.5 months.
Yeah, there's no sentiment.
He was looking for 2.5 months. Now I don't know how many days a week he was going into the harbor.
He was probably going there.
That would be the worst. Imagine jumping in the water, looking at the
butt
bottom.
Butt dark
of the river.
Down there, and just nasty.
So you have to actually be an expert scuba guy. So he happens to know how to scuba dive.
No, Drav said he just has a snorkel,
long snorkel,
just out as quick as he can.
No, I was joning on JP because he goes, "Well, how do you find it? You got scuba gear?"
Yeah,
right. I said, "No, he's snorkeling."
So hold on. So this guy, I wish I would have asked him that. So he just happens to be a silly scuba diver.
Yeah, certified.
I don't know if you have to be silly. You just got to take a couple classes.
Got to know how to do it.
It says he sets up a whole
this
grid.
Isn't that hard? You go to the deep end of the pool, you stick the thing in your mouth, and you breathe. To be a scuba diver?
I think scuba diving is a scary deal.
I would never do it.
I think if you scuba dive down to like 200 feet, it could be scary, yeah. But like if you're 30 feet below
what's
the surface,
the bottom
you're
of the harbor.
Well, the bottom of the harbor is probably more than 30 feet.
Yeah.
Rick, you can get a scuba license in half a day.
Yeah, I'm not certain. I don't disagree. But by I think
the
way, it's scary.
The dad and his son move, of the White Lotus got it in like a week.
Yeah, you go on vacation in Hawaii, you get one in 12 hours.
I mean, it is so easy.
His move is to, you know, obviously they give him a picture, I'm sure, of the ring, is to go get a phony and turn that in like the jeweler did to your mom.
Yeah, you just get one from Claire.
Like, yeah, found it at the bottom. Boom.
Right.
Give him an old cubic zirconia.
Right.
But they're going to check to make sure it's the legit real
deal. There's
deal.
Just an industry for everything.
Apparently there is. I like Zing Finders better than Ring Finders.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a biz that we could get in.
Who knew?
Solid biz.
I mean, you said Teresa lost her ring, right? You going to call him?
In the parking lot of the Bonefish in Ashburn.
Is there any chance he'd go back and find it? It was about 5 years ago.
I know who found that ring. Jay Gruden. He probably stumbled out of it. Hey, we left this ring in the parking lot.
Yeah, right.
Jay Gruden.
I don't know if he's allowed in there anymore.
Get that bang bang shrimp. Is he still living in Northern Virginia?
He does.
Although, isn't he working with the Jags?
No, they threw him overboard.
Urban Meyer went
to Southern overboard.
He was trying to get into TV. I don't know where that went, but he still has his house in Creighton Farm. And he's got a place in Jacksonville, too, but I don't know how often he's there.
Nice. Good for him.
I'm in a fantasy league with his son, Jack.
You are?
Yeah.
See the big ripped guy?
Jack?
No, that's Deuce.
That's Deuce, who's John's son.
Oh, yeah.
Did the Gruden draft all Raiders stay loyal to the family? Did he do that bit?
No, but he was forced to take two kickers and two defenses.
Oh, in the world's worst fantasy league? Yes.
I'm having fun.
And whether you're a platoon leader or a cheerleader, PenFed makes it easy for all of us to achieve our financial goals with great rates for those in the military and those who are not. PenFed offers credit cards, online savings accounts, auto loans, mortgages, and more, all at great rates for everyone. Visit PenFed.org for more information. To get any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed. But hey, membership is open to everyone. PenFed is an equal housing lender insured by NCUA.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Junks 25th anniversary presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org. So I touched on the fact that Americans look at their phones on an average of this many times per day. Seems kind of high, but I think I'm at this number or above. Apparently the number is 96. It's a defensive lineman number.
That's a big number.
Close to 100.
I mean, I use it during the show. So every break, that's 12.
That certainly counts. I mean, you're looking at your phone, just looking at it.
I'm probably at like 30 by the time I leave the show.
Yeah, I think most people do it very often. Especially if you're not. I know at home I'm on my computer more, but when I'm out and about traveling and stuff, I mean, that's, look at it all the time. I know I'm conscious at dinner to try not to look at it when it's just my wife and I at dinner. But even though you're having a great dinner, everything's fine, you still find, each of you find yourselves, Meg just texted or something. And then you're on it, And you're just constantly, texts constantly
coming. It rules our lives. It really does.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And I'm not on social media. If I was on social media, you'd probably double it.
Easily. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm at 96, but maybe I am. I mean, when you say look at your phone, is that just to look to see if there's a text?
Yeah.
That counts as one.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, well, then I'm probably in the hundreds.
Easily. Yeah.
You're doing it all the time.
Probably, yeah.
Well, the fact that you went to your phone and gave me this number is huge. It changed my life on Sundays.
What do you do?
Well, I just wasn't parking at Homewood Suites where I park during the week on the weekends, because when I've done that in the past, they're always clueless. Right. It's different guys. And the valets will look at me like I'm one of the radio guys. And they'll look at me completely clueless. And it's just a whole rigmarole. So the first 2 weeks that I've been doing Inside the Betting Lines, which I do from our performance studio downstairs, I look for parking. And in week one, I was successful. Took me a few minutes, but eventually I found a spot parallel parked. Well, this week, the show starts at noon. Mm-hmm. I arrive about 11:25, and I decide to do a loop. Nothing. Then there's one like teaser spot. I'm driving my SUV. Maybe it could fit in Cakes' little electric car.
My Hot Wheels car.
It might have fit into that parking space. Sounds like, all right, let me do another loop. And I gave up and I punted and I parked downstairs for $25 because it was game day.
Yeah, well,
it was Nationals game day.
You have to do that.
Right. Well, now I got the magic number. Okay. I'll text my guy Chris, tell him Sundays I'll be arriving around 11:30.
Right.
Chris will take care of you.
Chris will call the people at Homewood and say, look out for my guy, JP. Right. He's going to be coming at whatever time. Take care of him. And you know what? It'll be taken care of.
And you know what's silly about that, too, is because my parking situation, just to give you the inside baseball, I had planned to go and just walk the Subway and get a sandwich before the show. I wasn't going to eat it then, but just get it, have it ready to roll for like 1 o'clock.
Sure.
Well, because I'm doing loops all around D.C., desperately looking for one freaking open parking space. By the time I parked, there wasn't time to walk to Subway. So I had to do Uber Eats. Uber Eats from Subway. I think it
probably cost you triple.
Yeah, it was like $15.
Oh, that's not bad. 15's not bad. I thought it was going to be at least 20.
I got a sub. I didn't even get the chips or the
usually
drink.
Usually it's like $8, $9, all of the fees.
Because I gave the tip $3. Do you tip every time?
Yeah.
I thought originally, wasn't the tip included in Uber at first?
I don't do that much.
Regular like, Uber, yeah.
The tip that really galls me, but I still wind up doing it all the time, is going in and getting takeout.
Right.
I don't do it.
I mean, I just feel like
I put a dash. Right. And
you give them total. Zippy?
When I'm just picking up takeout?
I know.
It's called their job.
But they do shame you. Now, like if you're using the credit card, they shame you with 10%, 15%, 20%.
Or you hit zero.
Right.
A lot of those places I just hit zero.
They try and guilt you.
That was a Panera yesterday.
Right.
I tipped them like 15 or 18% for just taking my order. What?
Wait, I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
But they're asking you if you want a tip, right?
You know what? I'm life leak.
So I
gave the guy at the corner, I gave him $2 a couple days ago.
Did you ever drop off your pants?
Which guy are you talking about?
The dude at the 7-Eleven.
Oh, the guy, the bald guy.
Yeah, he's there every day. He's hustling every day.
He got bitter at me like 2 weeks ago because my move, I wear glasses driving in the dark. So I have my glasses, but my move is I take them off as he starts walking by, and I put them in the glove compartment because that's where I keep them because I only use my glasses to drive. I don't know. He started mumbling something at me.
If you're not going to give him any money, you just have to no eye contact whatsoever and no movement that makes it look like you're dipping into your wallet.
No sudden movement.
He thought you were dipping into your wallet, and then he got Rick.
He got bitter.
You ripped him.
I'll tell you what he does. He smokes like a chimney. He uses all that money that he gets to buy the cigarettes from 7-Eleven. Yeah, that's what he does.
I'm sure he does.
He's a loser. I'm not giving him any more money.
I gave him $2 the other day.
He owns that corner, though.
He owns that corner, 100%.
I avoid that corner. I do a U-turn.
Do you think he's there from, like, all night, midnight to 6 a.m.?
No, just no, rush hour. Rush hour. Yeah. He's not stupid.
I think he's probably there from, like, I would guess 4 a.m. till like 8 or 9.
But one of these days, when
I don't know where he goes after that.
One of these days, we were stuck around here for, I don't know, a meeting or something. I walked by like around 11 o'clock. He was still walking around. I think he was going to Cava. Walking over there.
Dude, we were leaving Durham, and there was like a homeless guy sitting on like the curb of a parking lot, and he had all his cash out. He was just counting all his cash. I mean, he had a boatload of cash. He just had the ones,
yeah,
fives or whatever all over the street, and he was just counting.
Do you think a homeless guy will ever get the balls to buy like a square and they have a cell phone and they ask people to just swipe their credit card?
Maybe
Venmo
some
or something, right? Yeah. I could see it, dude. There's a guy
their
in Kensington.
Venmo number.
There's a guy in Kensington. He's right where Connecticut Avenue splits into University Boulevard.
That's a heavy traffic area.
Very so heavily trafficked, and he stands right outside the what used to be the Chevy Chase Bank. What do they call it now? Is it still
Capital One?
Capital One.
Yeah.
He just stands out there, and I've seen him in there. He has his own bank account. So he does his panhandling, and then he goes inside, and he says, yep, had a good day today.
He gets a silly rate.
And he deposits it into his account.
Good for him.
Yeah. It's his job.
Well, I'm not giving that guy any more money.
I had a guy.
You're because he's not about very it. He's not very gracious and grateful.
No, he's not.
He
shakes his like big gulp cup.
Yeah, and then, the money. He said thank you. I mean,
yeah, but like, he wasn't sincere about it.
No, it was a fake thank you.
Yeah, not sincere.
I've hooked him once. That's it.
I was
$2 cakes. You just
I had a bunch of ones. What am I going to do with a bunch of ones in my wallet?
I was tip shamed the other day. I went to dinner with another couple, and you know, we just split the bill. And let's just say it was $80 each. You know, we just said just chop it. And then I always ask whoever I'm with, I'm going to go, what do you guys want to tip? And it was like, let's just say it was $80. So I just said,
16.
16. And he said, oh, I was thinking about 24. And I was like,
30%?
I didn't argue
Baller.
With him. I know. I didn't argue with him. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Why?
Whatever you said.
Then you wrote down then, 16.
No. I did whatever he did. Right. And it's fine. But
right.
I just felt shame.
He might have been doing that because he was with you.
Why are we better tippers than Eli and Peyton Manning? That shouldn't be the case. Because last time I checked, their portfolio much larger than ours.
Yeah. Well, Jason claims that Peyton Manning played 18 holes at Pebble and tipped $50.
Right. I mean, that's an outrageously low
Hard
amount.
To imagine. For the
both,
amount
of, both of them.
I mean, for the amount of work that is going into that for the caddy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, 5 hours of work?
Sometimes
I'm
they do that when
it's
they
probably
lose,
longer. The average round at Pebble is longer than five because it's always booked. Always.
Right. Right.
And people take pictures.
And you got to walk and you take pictures. Yeah, it's a long walk. It's 7 miles.
And what is a round cost at Pebble?
Oh, it's got to be mid sixes, maybe. Including caddy, it's got to be close to seven.
I mean, if you're playing Pebble, the minimum you should tip the caddy, if it costs $600 to play, is $150 to $200. Minimum.
I would agree.
Like, probably should go higher.
I would agree.
Because if you've got long money, you're playing Pebble Beach, you can afford a nice tip.
What are you saying?
Yeah, I don't know. There's all kinds of stories here about what an amazing tipper Peyton Manning is.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that he would just be a jerk.
On tipper in what industry?
Like restaurants. Like he's leaving
$200. I mean, McAfee.
Okay, well, that's different. Maybe he's just a better tipper and he finds it
maybe he's
in
just
himself.
Maybe he's just clueless.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to put in
because I believe at Pebble, just like a lot of courses, they charge for the round, but they also include a caddy fee. Now, the caddy doesn't get all of that money.
Right. Sure.
That goes to their paycheck.
Sure. So the he's just thinking extra. $50 is good.
Right.
Yeah. And I think these guys are so far removed from it, they don't even know the value of the money anymore.
Right.
Who knows?
They don't even know.
What, are these caddies making like
it's their prime jobs. Like if you're a caddy at Riviera or you're a caddy at Pebble,
how many loops does a caddy make a day?
At Pebble, probably once.
Yeah.
You can make good money.
Hey. Take care of people.
Relatively speaking.
All right, we got to run. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.